Hello everybody and welcome to episode 7 of The Synopsis. Today we are going to be discussing the 1990s. As I promised, we're going to go down that nostalgia route a little bit, just to kind of get an idea of what it used to be back then, almost 30 years ago today. That's kind of crazy when you think about it. 30 years since it was 1990. Dang. I'm feeling old. Not gonna lie. I'm feeling pretty old. But we're gonna go into the 90s, discuss some things. I'm gonna give you my personal favorites of the 90s. And then at the end of this podcast, we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're gonna do a weekly recap of what happened online. Online this week has been pretty crazy, so it's gonna be fun to find out what has happened this week on the internet. So sit back, relax. You know what to do. Enjoy the rabbit hole as we dive into it right here on episode 7 of The Synopsis. Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Bowling for Soup, Roller Coaster Tycoon, Soul Calibur, Postal, Streets of Rage, Super Smash Brothers. I mean, the list goes on and on. The Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Oasis. We want to talk about TV shows? We have The Fresh Prince, X-Files, Friends, Buffy, Saved by the Bell, Full House, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, not the new Netflix one where they kind of just did everything what they wanted to do, but the old school one with Melissa Joan Hart. Guys, the 90s was something else. It was something that we could all enjoy. It was a simpler time back then, and I feel like we always say that when we talk about a gone era. Now, for example, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, everyone who was born in those eras who say, yeah, it was a simpler time back then. I feel like now us 90s kids are doing the exact same thing and looking back, thinking it's a lot better than it actually was. So, is that the case though? Is the 90s a nostalgia act from our past that we look back fondly upon because that's when we grew up? Or was the 90s truly a defining time in which we can all look back on and really believe and really say that we did something back then? We did something in the 90s, but everyone did that in the 60s, everyone did that in the 70s, everyone did that in the 80s. So let's talk about the 90s a little bit. Let's start off with bands, because music in the 90s was a little bit different, a little bit more of that grunge emo kind of vibe. We listed off a couple of bands a little bit earlier when we started the podcast, so let's go through a couple of them. For example, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Oasis, Green Day, Metallica, Weezer, Radiohead, Blur, Foo Fighters, U2, you know, say no more. We can go on and on. Pantera. We could go on and on and on for days about all of this. This is kind of the idea of when the 90s was, because we had so many of these great bands. And again, music in the 90s for myself wasn't really something that I listened to. I was not a band guy in the 90s. I was more of a hip-hop kind of guy. And if you want to look at the hip-hop selection we had back then, we had Nas, Wu-Tang Clan, we had ODB, Salt-N-Pepa, Dre, Jay-Z, Snoop Dogg, and a lot of people who are born nowadays don't understand that people like Snoop Dogg, even though he does a cooking show now with Martha Stewart, which is a crazy career transition when you really think about it. Even though he does a cooking show with Martha Stewart, Snoop Dogg at one time was in jail and on trial for manslaughter. And that's something a lot of the kids now are like, whoa, hold on a second, this guy who does cooking with Martha Stewart was in trial for manslaughter? Yes, Snoop Dogg was a G, Snoop Dogg was a gangster. Him and Dre, Jay-Z, all those, Eminem when he started coming out, they all changed the industry. But everyone forgets about Snoop Dogg's troubled past. And that's kind of crazy to me that people don't really remember that. I'm kind of getting off topic with that. Like I said, the 90s was more of a hip-hop kind of vibe for your boy. Your boy's into the hip-hop, he's not really into the bands, but you know, Bowling for Soup was a vibe, and Weezer, and all those good bands. They really kind of made the 90s what it is. Obviously, we all know about Nirvana and the unfortunate passing of Kurt, and that really did put a damper on the music scene for a while with stuff like that. And I feel like that kind of happens, though, whenever somebody in the music industry dies or unfortunately commits suicide. And that's something that we're probably going to end up talking about towards the end of the podcast. Remember, I said I'm going to do a This Week's On the internet kind of thing. If you're into YouTube, you all know about the Shane Dawson documentary that just came out involving Eugenia. That's fine, we can talk about that later. I feel like though, it's kind of important to mention right as we're doing this 90s discussion, because it kind of sticks true throughout every single decade and generation. Just because there's a problem doesn't mean the problem disappears in a different generation. We could all have these mental health issues. We can all have weight issues. We can all have everything in the history of the world. We have problems. And the only reason that they aren't played off as much as they were back then is because we didn't have resources or it was too taboo to mention. Look at tattoos. Tattoos are a perfect example. And I know I'm comparing tattoos and mental health. I'm not comparing them whatsoever. I'm using it as an example. Tattoos used to be so taboo back in the 90s. And like I said, that was close to being 30 years ago. So that really shows you my age, and that kind of sucks that I'm that old at this point. But that's beside the point. Tattoos were so taboo back then, and now we just look at tattoos every single day like, oh yeah, that's a cool piece of artwork, where'd you get that done? Or what does that mean? Or, hey, you know, how did you enjoy the pain, you know? Was it a good kind of pain? Was it a bad? How did it feel? All that kind of stuff. Back in the 90s, it was like, oh, he has tattoos, he must be in a gang, he must be a thug, he must be a criminal. I have my hands tattooed and my fingers tattooed. I have a whole sleeve on one arm, my other arm I'm working on, my chest is covered. I have a lot of tattoos, guys, I really do. Not as much as a lot of people who may be listening or a lot of people who are online, but I have, for a regular working man who works 40 plus hours a week, I have a decent amount of tattoos. If you was to see me 30 years ago and look at me now, you would have said, wow, 30 years ago, obviously, he may be in a gang, he may be a thug, he must be trouble. That's not the case. It's just because you like the artwork and you like the way and the style and everything is, and that's just how times have evolved. It's the same with, you know, mental health and the taboo of having that stigma around it. Oh, you can't talk to somebody, it makes you weak. It doesn't make you weak. It makes you a stronger person for being able to discuss stuff like that. And that's where I feel like Kurt Cobain, unfortunately, didn't have that help. If he had that help, what was available to us today, 30 years ago, we may still be listening to Nirvana music. And that's something that everyone has to really remember, is that just because it happened that long ago doesn't mean that the style or the songs or anything, everyone knows what Smells Like Teen Spirit is. Everyone knows Guns N' Roses, for example, you know, Living a Prayer by Bon Jovi, Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses, like I just said. Everyone knows that music and it stood through the test of time, but it would be helpful if back then we had the options and the facilities that we have nowadays to really, if you took that and put that back 30 years, and I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit now, but that's what the podcast is, guys. I kind of go off on track and kind of do my own thing. We know how it works now here on episode 7, guys, of the synopsis. We should know this by now. If we took the person from 30 years ago and put them in today's world, it would be completely different for them. It really would be, and I feel like that is something that is lost nowadays. But I'm getting off topic. The bands in the 90s, completely different. What I want to talk about mainly is games and TV shows, because that's where I was really into. Like, I didn't really get into music until about 10, 15 years ago. You know, obviously when Eminem came out, I started listening to more music then. I was introduced to that by relatives and stuff at a young age. So I kind of got into the theme of the hip hop and all that good stuff. But for those early 90s, I wasn't really listening to. And of course, you got to remember, at the time, I lived in England. So England was a good 5-6 years behind everybody. Maybe not in the music scene, but definitely on TV and video games. TV was a perfect example of how In the House with LL Cool J just came out in like 99, but in America, but it wasn't released until like 2000 and something in the United Kingdom. And that's kind of crazy that there was so much of a gap between everything. South Park is another example of TV shows that were released in America before the UK. And again, that's one of those things where it is what it is, it's fine. But it's kind of crazy to me that it took that long. I'm just looking up right now. In the House aired in 1995. And the final episode was in 1999. So it was a 4-year span. We did not get that until 2001, maybe 2002. And I remember, watching LL Cool J on TV and being like, hold up a minute. That's LL Cool J, the rapper. What is he doing on TV? That's crazy. So that's how I kind of got into everything. Like I said, music wasn't really my thing. We're going to talk about TV shows next, and TV shows is a good one. You got to remember, back in this era of the 90s, people like Steven Spielberg wasn't fully acclaimed directors for movies yet. So Steven Spielberg was creating TV shows like Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, Tiny Toon Adventures. All this stuff is coming out of the mind of Spielberg, and that's what put him on the map. If you look at anybody's career progression, they're going to start off small and start working their way up over the years. This was a perfect time for somebody like Spielberg to create those episodes, create the TV, use his mind and use what he can at that time to get his stuff out there to eventually become that great director that he is today. Now, some people may argue with that, but you can't put past Spielberg has had a lot of good hits, Jurassic Park being one of them, just throwing that out there. But again, you look at Animaniacs, you look at Pinky and the Brain, you cannot in this day and age. Yes, it may look outdated because of the way it was drawn or the way it was CGI'd, whatever it may be, but you cannot tell me that the humor wasn't there, the setup wasn't there, the dialogue wasn't there, and the shows weren't great, because they were, and you'd be lying to me. So if you're only 15, 16, or even younger than that, or even if you're in your 30s and you want a nostalgic flashback, let's go back to the TV shows like we're going to right now. I'm going to name some for you, I'm going to give you all some nostalgia memories, and then from there on we're going to go on to video games, and then we're going to try and get this week of Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, whatever it may be, out the way. So I'm hoping this podcast will be a little bit longer. I'm hoping it'll be at least an hour. That'd be kind of a vibe if we had an hour. But again, I'm getting off track, I'm kind of rambling. Let's get into TV shows after these messages. Now, this is a story all about how I started watching TV upside... No, I'm not even going to try and do a Fresh Prince parody. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, guys. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was an amazing show. There was only 6 seasons, started off in 1919, ended in 1996. Again, if you are listening to this podcast and you've never seen The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, or you've never seen Will Smith act, you definitely need to check this out. This is one of the best shows, if not the best shows of the 90s. Every single person I knew loved this show. Everybody would talk about it in the playground the day after it would air. It was just such a good show, and it ended on such a great way. There was a couple of episodes that really hit home, a couple of episodes were goofy, they took on serious issues. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air had it all, it really did, and with the production and everybody else they had in it, it really just put everything together. And it was a really great show, like I said, another good show, All That. And what spanned from All That was the epitome of 90s children's shows in Kenan and Kel. If you haven't seen Kenan and Kel, or you haven't seen Good Burger Movie, I highly suggest looking those up. And the reason I say that is purely because of the entertainment factor. Kenan and Kel was one of the best shows that started off in 1996, and we had a lot of rumors after Kenan and Kel had ended that Kenan was paralyzed and Kel was dead. That is not the case. Kenan is now doing a successful career on SNL, and Kel Mitchell is doing a lot of music stuff. He's also doing acting every now and then. He did do a reunion with Kenan not too long ago on SNL, on Good Burger skit. It was a good time, it was really good flashbacks, and that's kind of what we're listening to today. That's kind of what we've been living on for a while, actually, is nostalgic flashback. If you look at it right now, and again, I'm going off topic, but Kenan and Kel on Nickelodeon, definitely check it out. Who loves orange soda? Your boy loves orange soda. Is it true? Mm-hmm. I do. I'm not going to do it justice. Trust me, just check out the show. It's on Hulu, I think. It's on Netflix, Amazon Prime, all those good stuff. I'm sure there's a streaming service. iTunes, Amazon Prime, and Vudu. Just check them out. Really do. I know a lot of these shows may be on Netflix and Hulu. If they're not, go out of your way. Look up YouTube. I'm not condoning getting things for free, but if people have it for free on YouTube, then check it out on YouTube, because that's one of the best ways to really get into it and to really watch the shows and see what we're talking about in the 90s. But as I was saying, that feels like something we're doing more recently is going back to the 90s and trying to grab that nostalgia factor, because that's kind of where we're at right now. And I say that because a lot of the people who are in their 40s and 50s now are growing out of that 80s phase, and we had that about 10-15 years ago with the remakes of a lot of movies and TV shows. Sabrina the Teenage Witch was just remade on Netflix not too long ago as the mythological magical adventures of Sabrina or something like that. We just had The Lion King being remade, remastered in HD. They're going to re-release Cats, which was a late 80s, early 90s show, or musical show, whatever you want to call it. There was a lot of stuff that has been remade. Like I said, Jurassic Park is in the talks of being remade. They released Paddington Bear not too long ago, maybe 5-10 years ago. Winnie the Pooh has always been a big thing, obviously, but in the 90s it was more picked up than anything else. So overall, it kind of seems to be a trend in the entertainment industry where we do this cycle. We go 10-15 years of a cycle, and then we're like, okay, you know what, we're going to lose the nostalgia feel from everyone else because they're growing up again. You know, if you're born in the 90s, you're in your early 20s to late 20s, nearly early 30s. That's just how it is. So right now, we're looking at TV shows that are 30 years ago, or movies that were 30 years ago, like Jurassic Park and stuff, and they can remake those because they can bring it out to a newer audience. Walt Disney put in his will that every 10 years, a new Disney movie will be made or remade to keep Disney in the generations of children. They just re-released The Little Mermaid's coming out soon. There's a big up in arms because The Little Mermaid's going to be African-American. I have no issue with that whatsoever because you know what? There's many white Caucasian princesses out there. There's not that many black princesses out there. And if that's not PC, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say it how it is. Asian, all that stuff. The princesses can be... Why can't they be multicultural? Why can't they be different colors for each individual nationality or nationalism or whatever it may be? Each individual race, at the end of the day, we're all going to be human beings, so it doesn't matter what color that princess is. If the child wants to see them, they're going to watch it, and if they like them, they're going to like them regardless of their color. It doesn't matter to a kid. The only reason race becomes an issue or color becomes an issue is when we grow up, we are trained that and we are put that in our brain that over the years it has to be, this is a Caucasian princess, or this isn't an African-American princess. Like, why can't everybody just be whatever, and then from there, it's the children's choice to decide if they like the character or not. I feel like that's something that has been lost in time and lost in space, lost in that everything. Is that gender, color, sex, age, all of that shouldn't really matter because at the end of the day, it's up to the person's individual choices that makes them have a happy life or not. And I say that in the nicest way I possibly can because, trust me, I'm not happy with everything in my life. I don't necessarily love my job. I don't necessarily like what I'm doing in my life, but I do it because I have to support my family and support my kid. A lot of people need to think like that. Even though you may not have to like it, you still have to do it and it has to get done. So there's no point trying to bring that negativity into it to make anything worse when you can just try and just knock it out, do what you can, and then try and progress and find something good out of the scenario, which I think a lot of us do lose. So again, on my rambles, I know, I'm sorry. That's kind of what the synopsis is though, guys. We already, like I said, episode 7, I said that earlier. You guys should kind of get a feel as to what we're doing now. It's just me talking to a microphone, talking to you guys who are listening to me and who are in return giving me feedback so I can continue doing this for you guys. And it's fun for me to record and it's fun for me to do. There are days, like I said, I don't feel like doing a podcast or I'm just not tired, I don't have a topic or anything like that. And I push through it, I do it because I know even if there's only 5 people listening, if it's 5,000 people listening, it brings that person's day a little bit different. It makes them a little bit more happier. So if that happens, cool. It is good. It's a good time. It's a good time. It's a good vibe. So back to TV shows, because we got a little bit off topic there, talking about reboots and stuff like that. If I were to recommend any TV shows for you from the 90s, I want you to take a pen, take a piece of paper, I want you to write this stuff down, okay? So, I'm going to start. You ready? You got your pen? You good? Alright, cool. I'm going to recommend Saved by the Bell, Frasier, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Friends. Now, everyone knows Friends, let's be honest. Friends was an early 90s show, but it has such a cult following that it's become its own entity, which is amazing. All the stars on that show have gone on to good things or better things in their career. They pretty much live in off royalties at this point from Friends, but it was such a good show. Highly recommend it. The X-Files, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the original one, not the new rewind they did. Freaks and Geeks. Freaks and Geeks was only one season, but everybody who watches that loves that show. I highly recommend it. It's got a cult following behind it for sure. Like I said, it's only one season, but it's one of the best seasons of TV you'll ever watch. The Rugrats. Rugrats was amazing. Like I said, they're remaking Rugrats. They've been bringing that back soon. So I'm excited to see how that looks. If it looks bad, okay, we still have the original. So there's that. Animaniacs. Are You Afraid of the Dark? South Park, obviously, still going on today, but the original ones in the 90s was one of those shows where you could just be like, you know what, this is good. This is fun. I enjoy it. That 70s show with Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis in it in the early 90s, everyone kind of didn't know who they were. Nobody knew who they were. And now, obviously, everyone knows who they are now because they're doing all that good stuff, but people love that show. Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. Everyone forgets about that show. One of the best shows you've probably ever watched. It was so good. 98 to 2001. It It wasn't that many seasons, but when it was fantastic. It was a really, really good show. Highly recommend that. Not many people talk about it. Like I said, it's one of those forgotten gems. And a lot of these shows are the forgotten gems. The Nanny. The Nanny was from 93 to 99. Again, a forgotten gem that everyone kind of doesn't remember. But once you watch it, you'll be like, okay, I see you, Zach. This is one of those shows I should be watching. Ally McBeal was another one of those shows. Sister Sister with Tia Mowry and Tamara Mowry. If that's how you say the last name. Mowry? Mowry? That was a good show as well. Loved that show. It used to have a very... Nickelodeon had a thing in the UK at the time. And I'm going to see if I can remember off the top of my head. Because I don't want to be looking it up because it may take me hours. But it used to be a show of... Kin Kel... Sister Sister, Saved by the Bell, and then after that you would switch over to Trouble, which was a UK TV channel at the time, to watch Fresh Prince, you'd watch In the House, you'd watch My Wife and Kids, which was another good show. My Wife and Kids, if you've never watched that, watch My Wife and Kids. It's hilarious, it's funny, it's very relatable too. And then after that, you go back to Nickelodeon, you'd watch Rugrats. It was between these two shows. It was mainly Nickelodeon and Trouble at the time, is what they were called. And these two were what would carry the US shows, the majority of them. And you would just switch back and forth between those at any given time and just kind of watch anything. And then obviously, as we all got a little bit older, we'd switch to Comedy Central, where at the time it was called Paramount. And you'd watch Frasier, and you'd watch Seinfeld, and you'd watch all the more... adultish kind of comedies, I guess you would put it on, and then they ended up picking up Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, so they would go over to Comedy Central, and My Wife and Kids would go over there, and it was a whole thing, like a UK TV buyout, and this was before I lived in the States, so I'm not sure where they aired on the States. I'm pretty sure, like, there was on Channel 11 and 5 and stuff like that, but they all switched eventually, and then Sister Sister went over there, what was the other one? Taina, I think it was called. That was another show that was underestimated. It was on TV for the UK for like 2 seasons. Then Saved by the Bell would come out with the college years, which was really just another kind of grab attempt to try and get the nostalgia factor. But anybody who says Tiffany Amberthisiane doesn't have it still, you're lying to yourself. Tiffany Amber's being like the guy's college, the guy's crush for like 25, 30 years at this point. The girl has never aged by the looks of her. Same with the Pink Ranger, Amy Jo Johnson. She was the Pink Ranger, Power Rangers, the original season. She was like every teenage boy's first crush when they saw Power Rangers, because she was that next door kind of girl, that girl next door vibe that everybody loved. And I guarantee you speak to any guy who ever watched Power Rangers when they were younger, they would say that was his first crush. It was either her or it was Kelly Kapowski, who was Tiffany Amberthisiane from Saved by the Bell. There was no one else. At that time, there was no one else. It was one or two. That was it. So, you would go through all these shows, and you would end up going to Comedy Central, and you'd watch Comedy Central, and you get later on, you get a little bit older, and then they introduce Sex and the City, and 2.5 Men at that point was starting to come in the early 2000s. We're not talking about that today, but that's kind of how the layout kind of went. We went from the late 90s shows that slowly pushed up to the year 2000, and from there, it would show the old school 90s shows, but then it would introduce the new 2000 shows, and everyone could be involved, and everyone could figure out what was going on. And that was kind of the bridge between the two companies, or the two eras, I should say, between the 90s and the 2000, was that joint between the both of them, where you would have the old school 90s shows that would be shown early 2000s, but then they would introduce a new show, 30 minutes, that's what it would be, and it'd be like Fresh Prince, this new 2000 show, and then another episode of Fresh Prince, or another episode of In the House, or all that, or Keenan and Kel, or something like that. And then that way, everyone would kind of get viewership, and it'll be one of those things. It's kind of how they do TV today, guys. When The Walking Dead first came out, The Walking Dead in the United Kingdom was aired after a season finale of Breaking Bad. So Breaking Bad just finished an episode, like, for the season. I think it was, like, season 5 or something like that. And then The Walking Dead would be aired after that. So everyone would be tuning in to watch Breaking Bad, and then they would hype up Walking Dead. Walking Dead would then be shown, and then they would show the last season finale episode of Breaking Bad after Walking Dead. So the viewership would be in the middle if people stuck around, but at the start, viewers would be high, and then at the end, viewers would be high because they're both watching Breaking Bad. So anyone who had managed to stick around during that time would watch Walking Dead, and that's how Walking Dead became a thing. That's how they. That's how TV works. That's how shows in the 90s work. That's how everything was. 24 was another great show. I'm pretty sure it wasn't in the 90s, though, unfortunately, when it first came out. Pretty sure it was early 2000s when it first came out. Let me see. 2001 is when it first came out. Okay, and then I'm pretty sure this other show, The Handler, it was only a couple of seasons. I don't even think it was a couple. It was a TV series. When was this? The Handler was only one season, 16 episodes. Oh, this was 2003, so this is way after everything. Okay, so we won't talk about that, but that was a good show as well. Not many people liked The Handler, but I thought it was a good show. But that's the year 2000. That's different. We can get onto that at some point. But like I said, I gave you some notes. I gave you some tips. Check those TV shows out. Check those people out. And really just enjoy the 90s nostalgia. If you go onto Hulu, you can click on 90s TV or Netflix 90s TV or whatever it may be. You can click on the 90s and I'm sure something's going to show up and you'll be like, holy crap, this is something the synopsis mentioned. Yeah, let's watch this. Cool. Do it. Just trust me. Get that flashback. And I know you guys listening, if you are listening right now about the 90s, you guys are sitting there thinking, holy hell, I forgot about all these shows. I should definitely be watching these and checking them out again. Yes. Yes, you should. You are stupid not to. Get online right now. YouTube it. Google it. I don't care. Figure it out. Watch the shows. Make sure you get that nostalgic flashback. So the TV's gone, music gone. There's only one more thing to talk about the 90s really right now before we get on to the rest of the week on the internet, and that's going to be video games. So if you don't want to listen about video games, that's fine. You just want to skip to the end, that's all good. I know a few of my listeners enjoy the video game kind of thing, so if you want to, by all means, it's going to be right up next. I'm not going to do commercials or anything like that. I might just do a little musical interlude or something like, you know, just to break up the segments, that way you can skip to blah, 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 blah. But video games is coming up right now, so stay tuned for that. And then after that, we're going to do the week on the internet. I'm going to give you my thoughts on everything that's happened that I've seen this week. And we're going to go from there. We're just going to kind of wind the podcast down. So our last featured 90s segment is going to be on video games. I can do another one of these 90s. I can try and get somebody else on. I've been looking to try and get a co-host on for a while now. I know y'all have been trying to get a damn co-host on. I'm trying my best, guys. I really, really am. It's just time and work and everything like that. It's a pain in the ass to really get everything going in one fluid motion. So that's what we'll do. Eventually we'll get another co-host in or somebody just to give me their point of view about the TV shows or whatever in the 90s. But for now, we're going to go right into video games. Right here on The Synopsis. Okay, so video games of the 90s. We mentioned them a little bit earlier. Let's go through a couple. Crash Bandicoot, Diablo, Fire Emblem on the Famicom, such a good game. Gran Turismo, GTA, Harvest Moon, Monkey Island, Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam, Pokemon, Postal, Rayman, Quake, Sonic the Hedgehog, Soul Calibur. The list could go on and on and on. It really could. Some of the best games I ever played in the 90s. Roller Coaster Tycoon was definitely one of them. If you haven't played Roller Coaster Tycoon, I'm pretty sure now it's out on mobile, like on the App Store, and you can play it, but it's a little bit different than what it used to be back in the day. It's like one of those pay-to-play things with energy and all that crap. I don't recommend going to a mobile version. If you can, find an emulator, or maybe on Steam or something like that, and look up Roller Coaster Tycoon and play that game. It was so fun. If you've ever played The Sims before or something like that, then Roller Coaster Tycoon is for you. It's basically what The Sims would be if it was based on roller coasters and building your own amusement park and having goals and objectives and all that good stuff. It was so much fun. They would give you objectives to start the game, you would play a couple of them, you would pass, then it would send you to another amusement park to do something else. And eventually you got to open your own amusement park, you had to get so many people in, keep a high grade in, like there would be health grades and ride rankings, all that good stuff. It was a really, really good game, guys. I highly, highly recommend if you haven't played Roller Coaster Tycoon, you check it out. One of the best games I've ever played on the PC. And that goes along with The Sims as well. Obviously, they're both simulation kind of things. I didn't really get into The Sims that much. I did try to when I was younger. However, it was one of those things where I was like, if I can do this on a video game, why can't I just do this out in real life? I don't need to be figuring out how my marriage is going to be in 25 years when life hits you hard and then suddenly, you know, you have 20 different things going wrong. And boom, you get blown up by a toaster oven because the blender overheated next to a water puddle or something like that. It was a whole thing. That was The Sims overall. That was how my Sims experience pretty much went. So Roller Coaster Tycoon would definitely be a game I'd recommend. Now, everyone knows Pokemon. We just had Detective Pikachu released not too long ago. Pokemon Go was a big thing a couple of years ago. Everyone was outside actually doing something active. But now we're all kind of back into the video game kind of vibe. That's cool. 1996 was when Pokemon Blue and Red first came out. If you are Japanese, Pokemon Emerald / Green came out. Emerald is the remake. What are you talking about, Zach? Pokemon Green came out with the Bulbasaur. And that was fun as well. That was the very first time that Pokemon actually came out, fun story, on the Game Boy before it came out as the anime. So a lot of us never even knew what Pokemon was, and we just kind of picked up this game, we played, and we was like, what is this? This is great. And the next thing we know, boom, there's an anime on TV. And at least that was the way it was in the UK. We loved this game. This was the game you would play hours and hours and hours upon hours of. Everything I'm mentioning right now, you have to remember, is before the age of the internet. So this isn't where we could go online and find cheats or find codes or anything like that, or upgrades or updates even, or hacks, anything. This was all word of mouth or video game magazines. So Pokemon was one of those games where everyone had a rumor. You could get a Mew if you went to this specific location and you did this trick, or you could do this with the red candy, with a Ditto and all that. It was all word of mouth. It was all, oh, I did this, you know, my friend's brother did it and it worked and all that kind of shit. So this is when every single game was before the age of the internet. So all of these games were just like that, word of mouth. Sonic the Hedgehog, Crash Bandicoot, Roller Coaster Tycoon even. There was a rumor, oh, you can get $100 million if you do this cheat on Roller Coaster Tycoon. And you try it and it wouldn't work. And it would always be like, oh, you just have to do it like this instead. And, you know, my friend's sister's mother's dog's aunt did it. It was great. But again, it was all those word of mouth things. Now, one of the games that I do want to talk about that isn't really on the 90s list, but something that I personally love myself, was Football Manager. A Football Manager was a fantastic game, and I'm a sucker for management games and simulation games like that. I'll tell you why. There's nothing quite like picking up as your favorite football team, or your favorite wrestler, or your favorite cartoon character, or whatever it may be, and simulating something. Now, Journey of Wrestling, we just did a live stream, literally last episode on the podcast. Journey of Wrestling is a perfect example of those where you can create your own company, or create your own scenario, play with that company, and just go through it. Football Manager is the exact same way. You would always used to play as one of the big teams or the smaller teams, work your way up, and that's how you would play this game, and it would be fantastic. I remember used to be playing, able to play with my friends. He would be Manchester United, I would be Liverpool, or I would be Wolverhampton, which is my hometown. That is my team. Wolverhampton Wanderers or fans, or where you at, to sweep me one time, I will hit the microphone for you. Hit you with that too sweet, baby. But that's how we would play. So he would be Liverpool, for example, and I'd be Wolverhampton, and he'd be in the Premier League, I'd be in League One at the time, and you'd have to build your way up from that league to the Premier League, build your team up, build your reputation up, and do some signings, everything like that. And it was so much fun, because you would think, and it was one of those games where, even though you was playing it, and you wasn't actually doing anything like a FIFA, where you would play as a team, you would still love to play the game because you would watch the computer simulate everything and you would watch everything happen in front of you, and that would be something you would love to see. And I can't explain it. For somebody like me, and if that just made a noise, I'm sorry, I just had to adjust the microphone before it fell off the table. If you're like me and you love seeing that, but all your hard work and effort in the game goes into a simulation and the computer is pretty much saying, hey, good job, you're doing fantastic. That's what I like to see, and I love that. So Football Manager, or Championship Manager, whatever they call it now, whatever it was called, Soccer Manager, whatever it was, I highly recommend playing those games from way back when. I actually have one on my phone, and I will tell you what it is called. It's called Soccer Manager 19, and it's one of those where you can just create character, you can choose your team, create your star, and go. Another game that I like on my cell phone while we're talking about it is BitLife. Shout out BitLife. If you haven't played BitLife, I highly recommend it. It's a live text-based simulator, a lot like Journey of Wrestling, apart from it's on your cell phone as an app. If you play this game, they have a lot of mini-games, a lot of fun. It's a really good game. I paid for the premium version. I am a Bitizen. So shout out to you, BitLife. Shout out to what you've been doing. They do a lot for iPhone and for Android. The iPhone company, they have two things, iPhone and Android. The Android's a little bit more behind because they have iPhone app developers who have worked with the company. And that's great, but what they do is they really take fan feedback, they take what you have as an idea, and they'll implement it into the game at some way or some point, and it will really make the learning experience and fun of it a lot better. I remember when I first played this game, and you can only do a couple of things, and now you can do hundreds of thousands of things and careers and all that stuff. So I highly recommend playing BitLife if you haven't played it. It's free to download, it's free to play. Like I said, if you want the premium version, it was only $2.99 at the time I bought it. It may have changed now, I don't know. But if you want a game for free that's fun to play, check out BitLife on your App Store. I know I went a little bit off topic with the 90s there, talking about the cell phone apps, but it kind of linked together with the Soccer Manager 19 game that I have on my cell phone. So we're going to talk about more 90s games. One more game that I absolutely adored in the 90s was obviously Crash Bandicoot, and I picked up on that a little bit on the previous video game podcast. So that was something that really struck a chord with a lot of people, being one of the first games on Sony that was Sony exclusive. And a lot of people loved that game. And a lot of people were like, holy crap, this is an amazing game. This is one of those 3D kind of vibes. Everything was cool. Everything was chilling with it. And it was just a great, great time. Now, I want to tell you that with the 90s, one of the best games that I played would be Fire Pro Wrestling, and I talked about this a little bit earlier in our previous podcast on video games they have on for the PlayStation 4 right now. One of the original Fire Pros was amazing to play. Highly recommend seeking it out if you haven't. It was an amazing game. You could just do whatever you want. They didn't have any licensed characters at the time, or if they did, they were New Japan guys, and New Japan wasn't over here in America at the time. So it was one of those where you were just kind of going backwards and forwards, trying to figure out if they were real or not. Again, though, an amazing game. Highly recommend picking it up. Now, one of the last games I will talk about before we get into our final bit here and our final segment of the week, which is going to be about the internet, is WWF Attitude. That was on the PlayStation and the N64. Came out in 1999, and I can tell you this right now, it was the best wrestling game I had ever played at the time. The 3D graphics, the entrance musics, the introductions themselves, all of that, amazing, absolutely amazing. This was a time before they got into the lawsuit with the World Wildlife Foundation and became the WWE. It was the WWF, and it was amazing at the time. It was dedicated to Owen Hart because unfortunately Hart died in 99, just before this game was released. This game was released less than a month after his untimely death, which was terrible. It really was, and that's something we can talk about in another podcast. If you want to talk about wrestling or video games or whatever, we can talk about that later, like with the death of Owen Hart. It sucked. It was a terrible time in the company, in wrestling as a whole, and I don't think it's ever fully recovered. All your favorite wrestlers were there: The Rock, Mankind, Kane, Undertaker, D'Lo Brown. Oh yeah, I said D'Lo Brown. A lot of people like D'Lo Brown, so I'm gonna hear you talking shit about D'Lo. D'Lo was the man back then. A big thing in this game was commentary. It wasn't really a big thing in wrestling games or video games as a whole, was voice acting until this time. And Shane McMahon and Jerry Lawler provided the commentary, which is something that was also unheard of, because it was normally good old JR who was commentating for WWF at the time. But alas, we got Shane O'Mac and Jerry Lawler. The gameplay originally based on you being a jobber, which is basically a guy who doesn't win any matches. He's just there to put over talent. You would start working house shows, winning some matches, and then you would slowly gain your way into the ranks to become a title contender. And then you would just kind of do your thing as the created wrestler that you were. Fun fact, well, not so fun fact, is that as of this year, 2019, this is the last game that Owen Hart was able to be a playable character due to his death. He did a feature in the Legends of Wrestling series, but for WWF / WWE, this was the last time that Owen Hart was ever a playable character, which is really a disgrace to the industry. Owen deserved so much better. They put him in a scenario where he was a lose-lose, and unfortunately it cost him his life. And during his last moments of life, he would even try to save somebody else by warning them to get out of the way as he was falling 50 feet to his death. And that really shows you and tells you what and who Owen Hart was as a person. So for WWE / WWF not to acknowledge him since 1999, and that was 20 years ago as of this recording in 2019, surely by now we should have Owen featured in the game or acknowledged on the Hall of Fame. Something for Owen Hart. Please, WWE, do something for Owen. So that was one of my last games that I would play. I really loved it, like I said, in the 90s. There were hundreds more. We could do a whole entire 3-hour podcast on video games in the 1990s with Sonic the Hedgehog and Doom and Quake and all those good stuff. Duke Nukem even. Streets of Rage, Postal, everything. All of these games were in the 90s. And like I said in the video gaming podcast, this is where the industry changed, is because during that 10-year span between 1990 and the year 2000, everything became suddenly accessible. Technology was through the roof. It was an amazing time to be a gamer, to be in the computers, to be in that time. And that's kind of where we are now, is that video games aren't as taboo as they used to be because they're more socially accepted and people are enjoying them more and they're becoming much more of a thing. And that's great. I really do think that's one of the best things that could have happened to gaming between the 90s and the 2000s, is that we became more socially accepted for them. So 90s video games, giant landscape that really changed the sake of gaming for the future, definitely for the better. So with that being said, we're going to end the 90s nostalgic podcast right here. Feel free to listen to our last segment, which is going to be this week on the internet, or last week, whatever it may be. I don't want to copy anyone's YouTube title or podcast or anything like that. So internet review is going to be coming up right after these messages. So this is the end of the nostalgia part, and if you want to stick around for the last 20 minutes or so and we'll talk about this week on the internet, by all means go ahead. If you don't, thank you so much for listening. If you do, I'll see you right after these commercial breaks. Alright guys, so we're going to discuss this week on the internet, the review, whatever it may be. Again, I don't want to steal anyone's podcast or YouTube title or anything like that. So first things first, we're going to work from today backwards. As of today, we are recording. Manny Pacquiao got his first win in a while, finally getting his win back. It's fantastic for Manny. Even at an age of his, in his 40s now, he's on this winding down in his career, but still, that's great for Manny Pacquiao to get his win. Obviously, Stranger Things has been a couple weeks now. Everyone has loved Stranger Things. Everyone is asking for season 4. They think it's going to be one last season. I'm down for it. Let's make Stranger Things the last season. Let's do it in the 90s, kind of based on what this podcast is, you know. Let's do it 90s settings. Let's kind of make it happen. Make it do a thing. Twitch's Alanity has been accused of animal abuse. And there's no accusation there, guys. Literally, she threw her cat over her head. And she's fed her cat vodka in the past. And she's just known to be doing abusive things to animals. That woman should have her animals taken away from her. No questions asked. Simple as that. Let's talk about the trending video of the 12-year-old girl whose dad found out she was having sex and he proceeded to whoop her with a belt. A lot of controversy along this video, and I'm going to give you my 2 cents. Obviously, I have a little girl. She's only 9 months, so I don't have to worry about this as of yet. But there's a difference between disciplining your child, teaching your child, and explaining to your child. Now, in this scenario, clearly the father should be arrested and charged with child abuse, have his kid potentially even taken away from him, because what he did was despicable, it was disgusting, and there's no reason, no excuse for it whatsoever in this day and age. If you find out your daughter, or son for that matter, because a lot of people in the comments were saying, hey, if this was his son, do you think he'd be whooping his son's ass in the same way? And the answer would be no, he'd probably be high-fiving the motherfucker, or fist-bumping him, or saying him, good job, son, and not knowing what he did to another girl, if that makes sense. If that was his son and he was doing that, and all it is just saying, hey, you know, good job for you, but hey, the girl you had sex with, guess what? She's not getting this treatment either, right? So let's think about it. If you were to just talk to your children at a younger age, I'm not talking like 5 or 6, I'm just, let's educate your kids, please. You gotta educate your children on the values of sex, the values of life, and like everyday values. Values have been changed throughout the years and people are slacking on their morals. You finding out your child is having sex isn't a bad thing. If your child comes to you and says, hey, you know, I'm having sex now, but I'm using protection, we're being safe, we're using the right protocols, everything, you know, I'm happy, I want to do this, I'm not being forced to, like, that's one thing. But for you just to turn around and start whooping your child's ass with a belt and calling her a hoe, that's not going to teach your child anything. What's that going to do? That's going to make your child not like you, that's going to make them hate you, despise you, that's going to make them just wish they don't tell you anything. So now we get to a point where your child, you find out, is having sex. Next thing you know, your child is hiding that she's doing drugs, she's smoking, she's drinking, she's injecting, and then your kid ODs. I'm not saying that's going to be a whole scenario where his child is going to overdose and she's going to die from overdose, and that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a lot of people who have that life environment end up down that path because they're afraid to tell their parents anything, they're afraid to tell their siblings anything, their friends, because they think they're going to be judged or they think that something bad is going to come of it. And that's what this video essentially is. It's a video of a grown-ass man in his 40s, 20s, 30s, whatever he may be, looks like he's in his 40s, beating his daughter who was 12 with an inanimate belt. It's an object. It's not him like spanking her, it's not him even punching her, he's using a weapon on his child. If he did that to a grown-ass man, you don't think a grown-ass man would turn around and beat the shit out of him? Because I guarantee you he would. I guarantee you if anyone did that and somebody saw him do that in public, they would beat the shit out of that guy. And he thinks he was safe because he was in the confines of his own home. It doesn't work like that, guy. So you definitely need to have your child taken away from you. You definitely need to be locked up. Something needs to happen in that scenario. It can't just be a Twitter moment where everyone's like, okay, and we're done. Let's move on to the next thing or the next Belle Daphne fucking bathwater incident or some shit like that. Something needs to be followed up on this because this is not an acceptable way of a parent raising their child. And it's not acceptable at all for you to be laying your hands in any way, shape or form on your children. You can teach them the right way of doing things. You can teach them the wrong way of doing things, and violence is not one of those ways. Simple as that. Now, I want to also talk about that as well. If you don't think you can control your children, then maybe you can control your dick. Or maybe control your legs. Because if you think the only way of basically teaching your children life is by beating them or by whooping their ass, and that's it, then you don't deserve to have kids. There's hundreds of thousands of people in the world who are looking to adopt, or IVF, or sperm donor, whatever it may be, who want kids and can't have kids. And to see somebody treat theirs like that, I guarantee I'm not the only person who feels like this. So, for me, no. Get your kids taken away, get your ass beat in jail, learn something, and then maybe you'll become a better person from it, and then maybe, I'm hoping for the best for this young girl, that nothing has scarred her, she isn't traumatized, that she can still live her life happily, but where we're looking at right now, who knows with that. And the last subject I'm going to talk about today, even though there's a lot of things that went on this week on the internet, the biggest thing, obviously, I think we're all going to talk about is Shane Dawson's new series that he did with Eugenia Cooney. I believe that's how you say her name, Eugenia. That was his most recent video. Now, I do want to say this real quick before I get into talking about this, because I watched this with my wife and it definitely surprised me with things. I want to ask real quick, when did Shane Dawson become like the grandpa Dr. Phil kind of guy on YouTube? Because everyone seems to go to Shane with their problems. Now, no, I'm not, Eugenia didn't go to Shane. I'm not saying that for a second. I'm not trying to demise anything that he does or whatever, but it's kind of funny to me that 10 years ago people were talking so much shit on Shane Dawson, talking bad things about him, and even like this year, taking tweets out of context and using them against him, but everyone watches his videos now. And he hasn't got the most subscribers on YouTube, he hasn't got the most views, the most likes or anything like that, but people watch him because they want to see what effectively Dr. Shane's doing. I may call him Dr. Dawson for the rest of this segment, but I might not, I don't know. But the last 5 or 6 things he's done has been series, documentaries, videos on people, their health, or their downfall, and their their reincarnation, the rising phoenix from the ashes. But Dr. Shane, Dr. Dawson, seems to be the one who's doing that and nobody else. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not telling anyone to copy Shane because that would make it less special. I'm just wondering where we came from, everyone talking shit on Shane, making fun of him for having weight problems and suffering from that and anxiety, for everyone being like, oh my god, Shane's the best because now he's doing these documentaries on other YouTubers. And I'm just kind of bridge the gap there of how that happened. I loved it, honestly. I loved the documentary. I loved what he did, the way he recorded it, the way he filmed it, the way he worded his questions. I thought it was perfect. Eugenia, you could definitely tell, was a lot better. And the way I say, I'm not saying that she wasn't good before. I'm saying she definitely seems to be in a much better mindset of her life than she was in the past. And it sucks because all those people who were telling her to eat something or to kill herself or was trolling her, that's not what you need in this day and age. You need people to be supporting others. You stop dragging people and start lifting people. And it's hard to do. I know it is, but if you're comparing somebody who you work with and you're dragging them because they're not doing their job, that's one thing. But dragging somebody completely random online just because you think it's funny or it's cool or it's the in thing to do, there's no need for that. This story could be completely different. It could be from Eugenia making a recovery and Shane helping during that, helping her express her voice, to Shane doing basically a memorial on Eugenia because she did what those trolls or what those haters told her to do. And that's a very fine line of what happens when people say bad things. A perfect example would be Elika. And unfortunately, Elika was a YouTuber and he had mental health issues and nobody reached out for him, or he reached out. The bottom line is he didn't have the help he was required and he ended up killing himself. He jumped off of a bridge and, you know, it's a sad story for Elika. And any one of his followers, his friends, his families, you know, serious, in all seriousness, you know, condolences across the board. But that's a perfect example of what could have happened to Eugenia, is that people using hatred and using all these negative vibes towards her could have her ended in her story completely differently. Now, she looks, like I said, in a much better health mindset. She seems more happier with herself. She seems more energetic again. She seems to be more of the person she once used to be before everyone got to her. And I feel like that's going to be the easiest way for her to transition back into YouTube, back onto social media, back into life, is by people being positive to her, not being negative. You can say to her, oh my god, you look great now, but you're basically saying that 2-3 years ago she looked like shit. And that's your opinion. That's whatever your perspective and your vision is on that. But you have to remember, for somebody going through a mental health issue or eating disorder or anything like that, it's not that simple. You can say to somebody going through a mental health issues, and I speak firsthand from this, I have many mental problems. I have mental health issues, I have sanity issues, and I'm not going to hide from that. If you're listening to this podcast and you know me, you know I have these issues. And if you don't, hey, spoiler, I do. You can't tell me as an example. You cannot say, if I'm having a bad day and I'm expressing myself to you and I'm saying, hey, this and this has happened, your response is okay. That doesn't help me in any way, shape or form. If you say to me, calm down, like it's not that simple, and your response is okay, oh, well, then I don't know. I'm reaching out for help. I'm reaching out for somebody to explain something to me so I can get off of that ledge that I'm walking on. It's not for me to be dramatic. It's not for me to get attention. It's I'm saying, hey, I need somebody to help me right now walk off of this ledge that I am on, because I will go further on this ledge if I need to. And that's not me doing it because I want to. That's because the mental issues that you have, that's what they do. They play with your mind. They make you think things that aren't there, but you still get stuck on them. You get stuck on them for days. I had a scenario I'm still stuck on, and it was 5 days ago, and it's still in my head. It's still playing constantly. And all I can think about is when I go back into that situation, I'm going to go off, I'm going to hurt somebody, something's going to go bad. And that's all that keeps playing in my head. And it's taken people to tell me, hey, this is not the case. You need to let it go. You need to let this happen. This is what needs to go on. That's what you need. People who can understand the situation you're in and tell you how to get out of that situation. And that's what Eugenia needed. She didn't need people saying to her, hey, you know, you need to eat a sandwich or eat a burger, do something. She needed people to say, okay, We understand you know there may be an issue, but we want to help you, so how can we help you? And that's how Shane's whole documentary series, I'm trying to say the word documentary, documentary, there we go, documentary. Hey, look at me, I'm actually learning to speak again, way. But Shane's whole series that he's done, not just with Eugenia, but with others as well. And I'm going to really quickly look up on Shane's YouTube, because I can't remember off the top of my head, and I do apologize if Shane's listening. I highly doubt he is. Also, while we're talking about that, shout out to Bruce's I Don't Know music that was on that whole documentary. That was amazing. And if you haven't seen heard of Bruce's music or anything like that, I highly suggest checking it out. It's amazing. Bruce is a great artist. I mentioned him in my music podcast not too long ago. Okay, so I'm looking through the last year of Shane's videos. That's crazy. It's been a year. He's basically done this. So he did the Jeffree Star stuff. He did the Jake Paul things. He did conspiracy theories, investigating conspiracies, and then he did the Return of Eugenia. The Jake Paul thing is a perfect example. You know, everyone's saying Jake Paul is crazy, that he's not all there, that he's a madman, all this stuff. That's fine, you can believe that, but you also gotta be like, okay, maybe I should, you know, try and get him some help. And I get it, the Paul brothers are easy to hate. A lot of people on YouTube are easy to hate. And that's why I try and stay off YouTube. I like to just do my podcast and keep myself to myself. I get it. There's a lot of haters in that format and in that area. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who hate my podcast. That's fine. If you hate it, you don't have to listen. That's fine. What you say isn't going to affect me. But instead of bringing that hatred and negativity towards somebody, can we not try and push out some positivity? If you don't like the person, there's no need to even comment. Just go onto another channel. Watch somebody you enjoy. Like when Shane and Eugenia were talking and he was like, hey, what's one thing that's made you mad that you haven't, you know, said about in the last year or so? She mentioned somebody talking in an orchestra. Shane just kind of laughed, but that's good that not only can she acknowledge that something made her upset, but she didn't have to do anything about it. You know, a little, hey, can you guys be quiet, please? That's one thing, but she didn't go out and make a rant or story time about it. She just kind of did her thing and enjoyed the rest of the show. And that's great. That's the kind of thing that we need in the internet community now. Not just Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, but overall. The internet is such a big thing nowadays. It wasn't in the 90s. Hey, look at that little callback to the podcast earlier. Well, hey. But it isn't a thing like it used to be, where it was so-and-so would say something about someone and it would be behind their back and, you know, it would just be a he said, she said, and it would be squashed. Everything stays on the internet forever, guys. Regardless of you deleting it or thinking you deleted it, it stays online forever, and it really shows to that person. And if that person can see back 6 years that you were saying this about them and it's still a struggle that they're having today, who is to tell you that that isn't going to be the breaking point of that person's life, that person's career, anything? So you got to be careful what you're saying. I'm not saying, hey, you don't have to like everybody. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying in a scenario like with Eugenia, people literally FaceTiming her, paying their money to basically say shit to her. It's uncalled for, it's unnecessary, and I'm very glad to see her on the up and coming, on her road to recovery. Again, I think she seems like she's in a much better mental state than she was a year ago, 2 years ago, just based on what I saw from Shane's documentary. So Shane, if you're listening, I highly doubt you are listening, let's be honest, anyone who is famous or anything like that, I know you're not listening, it is what it is, but if you are, great job, it was an amazing series that you did, or the episode I should say, keep the series coming, and what you did for her, just allowing her to have that space, that time to share her story, to share what she was going through. And notice as well, guys, before I end up this podcast, she never said specifically what the disorder was that she was dealing with. And there's a reason that happened. The chances of her telling you what it was were slim to none, purely because she knew that the reaction would be a bad one. It's the stigma of having a disease that you don't want people to know, because as soon as they do, they have a bad negative reaction to you, and that's all they see. And I have people now in my life, and I'm not comparing myself to anyone else like Eugenia, don't get it twisted, but I have people in my life who know I have issues, who know I have problems, and they use that against me. They use things that happened 3 or 4 years ago and they still bring it up and still use that against me. And that just makes me sick to my stomach that somebody can try and hold on to something for that long or a situation for that long, knowing that that person was in a bad place or in a bad state of mental health, and still use that against them to this day. And just let that sink in. Imagine 4 years ago you did something, you're 24 now, you're 20 years old, you did something stupid, you want people to forget it, but they don't. They keep bringing it up every single time you do something wrong or something's bad or you're just having a bad day. They bring it back to that situation you had, and that's all that people do. That's terrible. That makes me sick to think about that. People are going through that shit, myself included, and they just keep pushing and poking the bear. I don't know what that the people's goals are. Like, what is your goal at the end of the day? Is your goal to get somebody to do something to harm themselves or to snap and to harm somebody else? I don't understand, because where do you get off on that, knowing that this was a scenario that you guys were in and you're still trying to make it something that it's not? So with Eugenia, I hope she doesn't go back into that dark hole with all the trolls and everything like that. With Shane, I know he goes through stuff as well. I hope he doesn't have to deal with any of that again. And if he does go through that, that he has somebody he can reach out to and not just hold it in himself. He seems to be the therapist for everyone on YouTube right now. But I want to make sure that if anyone needs help, that he can also get it. And that goes with anyone. If you need help, if you're in a situation, reach out. Use phone numbers. Use the internet. Use your local state or country, whatever it may be. They all have crisis helplines. Reach out and speak to somebody, text somebody. Hell, if you're listening to the podcast, hit me up on Twitter. I like Tatted Chef. Tell me if there's a problem that you have and you're something you're struggling with. I will help you, because I've been there. I've been in a scenario where you have no one who you feel can help you, where you're lost, you're dark, you're in that place, and no one can pull you back out. And I don't want anyone to go through that situation that I went through or will continue to go through, because that's not how people's lives should be. I don't want that for my daughter. I don't want that for my wife. I don't want that for my friends. Anything. I don't want that for my listeners. So if you need help, reach out to somebody, anybody. It doesn't matter who. And make sure that that situation you're in is got rid of. Because if it isn't, it's going to eat at you forever. And there's going to be a time where it's going to be too much. And it's just going to get worse and worse from there. Trust me, I know from experience. I know from life. So please reach out if you need help to one of your local administrations, your friends, even me on Twitter, Instagram, it doesn't matter. Reach out to somebody. So with that being said, guys, we are going to end the podcast here. I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to the 1990s nostalgia. I hope you enjoyed this week recap, what we had or what happened on the internet. If you like what I'm doing with those, let me know. Maybe I'll do those more often, maybe once a week, or maybe every day we can round up what happened on the internet that day. Something like that to keep you guys interested. Like I said, trying to figure out daily topics for podcasts, it's a struggle. Especially when you try and make the podcast at least 45 minutes plus longer to try and make everything go together so people can enjoy themselves throughout the day. So I really hope you guys enjoyed. I'm going to go spend time with my wife and my kid now. So for the rest of you guys, I hope you loved. If you liked it, anchor.fm, leave me a voice message or a note. Tell me what else you want me to do. Spotify, you know, hit us up on the follows, on the plays, on the Twitter, all that good stuff. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. I know I will. I will see you and hear you all. I will talk to you all, I guess, on tomorrow's episode. Not sure what it's going to be about yet, guys, but once we figure it out, hey, we'll figure it out. So thank you for listening, and I guess we'll figure out where we go tomorrow. So again, thank you for joining us as we dived into the rabbit hole on episode 7 of The Synopsis.